The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one.
Leadership Platform, Adrian Groenewald, still in the studio. It's great to be with you. The next hour, our Leadership Masterclass. First half hour, Master Lesson. Second half hour, or second portion of the show, we zoom in on our special guest today, who is Dalim Mpofu. We'll introduce him in a moment. Not that he needs it so much. And, of course, you can visit leadershipplatform.com for all things leadership. Two P's in the middle, one word. Our usual panel, Rich Simmons and Louis Groenewald. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Dali, advocate, politician. In the second half, we'll unpack you a little bit more. It's good to have you in the studio. Thank you for joining our panel the first half hour as well.
Thank you so much, Adrian. Good to be here.
You're our first half hour leadership guest. Sure. Before we go into our leadership master lesson, which is very fascinating, and we have on the line Professor Theo Veldsmann. He is an expert on leader. It's one of his specialities. I'll introduce him in a moment as well. I want to invite you as a listener to my book launch on Wednesday evening. Seamless Leadership, Universal Lessons from South Africa. Many years coming. Advocate Thuli Madonsela, my guest speaker at this specific launch. It's at the Exclusive Books Hyde Park. Hyde Park Exclusive Books, 6 p.m. for 6:30. So you are welcome. Just RSVP the Exclusive Books itself, hydepark@exclusivebooks.co.za. hydepark@exclusivebooks.co.za. Or you can call 011-325-4298, 011-325-4298. Please join us. If you're part of this leadership community, you are welcome. We really want you there. And, of course, Thuli Madonsela will have some interesting things to say. I'll also try and share a few words, and we'll have a bit of a Q&A. All right. Last week, we spoke about questions. Okay? It was all about leaders asking questions, and it starts and ends with a question. You can go and download that podcast. We're going to ask some important questions today as well. Let me quickly bring in Professor Veldsmann. Welcome.
Good morning, Adrian.
It's good to have you on.
Thank you to the listeners sharing some thoughts with you.
We're really excited to have you as an academic expert, and I know you do practical work out there too. You have corporate experience, so you're a good man to have with us today. We're asking the question, does an organization reflect the character of its leader? We easily say no. Last week I tweeted this. It's a quote that says, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. Billy Graham. And then I added this. I said, we can't, and I put can't in capital letters with the xenophobia and all the nonsense happening. I said, we can't escape this truth. A country, organization, or a team or whatever, almost always reflects the character of its leader in some way. Almost always reflects the character of its leader in some way. It retweeted about 128 times. So it went all over the show. I would assume that people did that because they kind of believe it's true. So let's discuss that today. Does an organization, an entity, a team, a country reflect the character of its leader? Does the EFF reflect the character of Julius Malema? Does the ANC reflect the character of President Zuma? Does South Africa, in fact, bigger question, reflect the character of President Zuma, our leader? Does your organization, doesn't matter which one it is, reflect the character of your CEO? Last week was about questions, as I said. So here's a few questions. If you agree that an organization reflects the character of its leader, in what way does this take form? If you agree and you are not aligned to the character of your leader, should you leave? Should you stay and be a change agent? can you, in fact, realistically counter the character influence of your top leader? If you agree with the vision and purpose of the organization, but not with the character of the leader, do you stay or go? If you don't agree that an organization reflects the character of its leader, in other words, you don't agree with this principle, why is the leader there then? Is he or she there to ensure performance only? Or to also ensure certain behavior takes place, certain values are adhered to? And I suppose if you don't agree that this statement is true, if a President Zuma cheated on his wife, or if another leader, we had Zulan Zimavavi, we had him in the studio, interesting experience he had. If that sort of thing happens, yet performance happened under President Zuma's leadership, or under whatever leader who maybe in some people's view morally digressed, if performance still happens, you would probably believe that it's acceptable, or at least his own personal business. But if we believe a leader must ensure movement or performance and certain behavior, then surely organizations are supposed to reflect at least some of the leader's character, right? Panel, before I bring Professor Veldsmann in, I'd like to hear from each of you. Do you think, answering some of these questions, that an organization reflects the character of a leader? Dalim Pofu, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I like the formulation in your quotation, which says almost always reflects the character of its leader in some way. Those are the key words. Because obviously it's not just a kind of mimicking or total reflection of the leader. But there is no way, in my experience, that you as a leader do not have an impact on the character of the organization. And organizations, in my belief, have what we call personality. So you can always personify an organization. You can say an organization is reliable, yeah, is unreliable.
Given attributes. Yeah.
Absolutely. You give them almost personal attributes. And those come from the people generally, but very specifically of the leader. Mm. In other words, if you're a leader and you say, I'm coming here to, you know, one of my values or beliefs is punctuality, and then you are always late, then obviously that organization is never going to reflect that. But if you leave the values of the organization as a leader, then it gets permeated. You know, people always get to know that, look, you have to be honest, you have to do this to be punctual, whatever it is. Okay. So, you know, a leader is crucial from that point of view. Yeah.
So if I believe in being punctual and I act tough a few times when people are not, then that attribute, that behavior will become part of the character.
Absolutely,
of the
starts to spread through the organization, and, okay, and yeah, that's just a simple example.
Simple example
of how it is. Yeah,
Rich Simmons, your thought?
Yeah, definitely. You know, where we see leaders act without integrity, you normally find the rest of the organization follows
in some way.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, Louis.
I agree with Dali's point as well, and that is that. Remember, organization does not only reflect the good character of the leader, but also the poor or lack of character, and often they blame something else for it. So both cases, organization will reflect the character of the leader.
Somehow reflected. Okay, Professor Theo Veldsmann, Professor and Head of Department of Industrial Psychology and People Management, Faculty of Management, University of Johannesburg. One of his areas of specialization is leadership. Prof, does an organization reflect the character of its top leader?
Very much so. I can only endorse what the other panel members have already mentioned. I mean, firstly important, maybe taking one step back for me, is a leader is about the future. The leader holds the aspirations, the hopes, the fears of the stakeholders who he or she wants to turn into followers in his or her hands. Mm. And in that sense, already he or she is a point of reference because we entrust our future to you. Secondly, then, this leader in that process acts as a role model for taking the organization into the future. Now, sometimes, of course, in a corporate space, that leader gets appointed, but there's also the respect that the leader earns along the way for people following. In a political organization, it's more informal, a community organization. But then what we further know, that kind of externalization of my role modeling finds its concrete manifestation, and Dali has referred to that, in the personality of the organization. And essentially the personality of the organization is contained in its culture. And what research has shown is that there's a 70% relationship between the culture of organization and the leadership of the organization. So if you know what the leaders are like of the organization, especially the dominant ones, then you can make very 70% predictions of what the culture would look like, and inversely.
Okay, you are saying leadership. I hear you say the leadership of the organization rather than necessarily the leader alone.
You see, what we're increasingly seeing in your complex environments is that leadership is not only nowadays only contained in a single person. Mm. It becomes shared to get the job done. Yes, you have a dominant leader, you have the CEO, you have the leader, the political party. But there's a very interesting dynamic here that occurs that we know about, is that leaders then start surrounding themselves with people that are reflective of what they stand for. Mm. Or the type of leaders... Sometimes what we see, and that's another interesting dynamic, stronger leaders are strong enough to admit to their weaknesses and then surround themselves with other strong leaders that can complement themselves. Weak leaders can't admit to their weaknesses, hence they can only allow to surround themselves with weaker leaders. And then, of course, that cascades down into the organization that all the other cascading levels, you get even weaker leaders. Mm. So the leadership of the organization, in a sense... The dominant leader gets reflected in terms of the leaders he or she surrounds themselves, and then you see this dynamic of then the role modeling becomes a group modeling, the leadership group, and then that goes into the culture.
But surely, yeah, so the size of the organization matters. There's quite a few things that matter. How long is the leader there for? So if you take Discovery and you've got Adrian Gore there for so long now, then surely, you know, it does impact. But he's brought in other leaders. In different parts of the business, which would also be part of that leadership.
Yeah, very much so. And then the other point that's been made, which I can only but endorse, the whole credibility of the leader. Apart, of course, one has to question what the leader talks about, whether that's ethical, moral, correct, whatever. But then let's assume for the moment the leader is on the right moral course, taking his people, his followers, his co-leaders into a desirable future, that's really going to make a good difference, is, of course, then how does the walking occur? And the credibility, as a panel member said, of the leader rests in that gap. Is there a gap or no gap between walking and talking?
All right. Before we take a little further, comments from you gentlemen on what Professor Theo Veldtsman said. Dali?
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think he makes a very important distinction between the values and the culture of an organization and the competences and the skills. A good leader, in my view, must always surround themselves with people who have different skills or better skills even than you have in different areas. That's one thing. But as far as values are concerned, it's always better to surround yourself with people who have shared values, say, who share the same values. So there must always be that distinction. People might have CA accountant qualifications and so on, which you don't have, which you need. But it's much more preferable that they must share the values. So that, because once there's a misalignment in the values of whatever, integrity, honesty, respect, and so on, that's definitely going to show when you're talking about the leadership per se. But when you're talking about the leader, then the leader has that responsibility, as I say, either both to inculcate the values, which is why when you do a strategy within an organization, the values that kind of underlie your vision and mission are really what you want to permeate through, so that it doesn't matter whether the person is in the IT department or whatever it is, but at least the values are aligned. Yeah.
I mean this is a very important conversation. People let me know that it sounded very interesting because we assume the character adopts, and what we now know is 70% at least, as the prof said. But let's look at it a little bit more.
Come in here, Adrian, if I may? You can imagine concentric circles. Yeah. Right at the center is the leader, which is usually the most senior person. Mm-hmm. The next circle around that leader is the leadership. Mm. The third circle is your organizational culture. And the fourth circle, in a sense, is the people.
Yeah.
The people are embedded in the culture. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people also, if they have a say in the matter, choose the leaders they can live with as well. Hey,
yeah.
Very often the followers are a reflection, or the leadership that followers are willing to follow are a reflection of them, because leaders hold their future in their hands.
Well, especially a democratic type system, or in politics, we get the leaders we vote for. You know, we get what we deserve, good or bad. But I mean, let me just throw this in size. So I can't imagine that a 40,000 staff organization, or 80,000, or let's take South Africa, 50 plus million citizens, that an organization of that size can, the character of that organization, all the way to the bottom, can adopt or reflect the character of the leader in such a large proportion, if I can put it that way. So maybe at the top quarter of the organization, the reflection is 70% or 80% even. And then as you go further down, all the way into the trenches, maybe it's a 20% or 30%. Any thoughts on that, Prof? And then I'll ask Richard.
I tell you what, the point about the values I can only but endorse, because the leader also embodies the values and the beliefs of the organization. And yes, you see, people then say, okay, if let's say the value is, okay, we talk about honesty, but what we see in reality is corruption. That what happens with those values, they get, in terms of how the leader is modeling it, gets reinterpreted at each level into the space of that particular individual. So you can't draw a straight line. It's more understanding what the leader stands for and how people then hook themselves onto that.
Based on their world, based on their perspective.
If a leader is involved in corruption, then, yeah, I may only be the receptionist. I may only be the guy working in the warehouse. But then corruption is okay in my space.
Okay. Rich, your comments on that?
Yeah, it's very interesting because obviously, you know, leaders will surround themselves with those with the same values. So if you're a mafia boss, you don't want honest people around you. And the same way, you know, as Theo was mentioning there, you've got – so you see corruption and you feel more entitled to take a pen from the office because – everyone else is doing it. So now you suddenly justified entitled, because that's, you know, most of us, all we look for is a little bit of justification for what we're doing. If we can feel justified in what we're doing, we think it's okay.
So I'm a municipal manager. My perception is that my president appoints friends and colleagues and people who were in the struggle with him, or just a friend from KwaZulu-Natal. I'm just using it. If you're the president, then you'll always be the case study. So that's just the way it is. So I'm municipal manager. Why is it so wrong for me to employ a family member or a friend who will be loyal to me? Gosh, you know, I need to trust the people around me so I can rationalize it very well. After all, the president does it. So it's very easy in your space. So I buy that point. Louis, your comments quick?
Just wanted to mention, Arden, we speak of heading a very large organization, like a country. What people are looking for is clarity of vision. Now, what happens in our country right now, there are many noble causes being driven by government. Make no mistake about that. But there's no sense of priority. So what we would look for in a leader is a sense of priority. So a core message comes through, or else 100 messages come through, and it just opens the way for a spirit of a lack of trust or credibility, as the prof was saying.
Okay, so let that sense of priority filter into the character of the entire organization, and let people on different levels interpret it, and maybe help them interpret it into their own space as a miner right at the bottom, as a driller, as a general manager or a vice president of a shaft or a mine. Dali?
Yeah, no, I agree with everyone. You know, it gets reflected. It doesn't really matter the size of the organization.
Yeah.
I think that it does get reflected in various ways. Obviously, the smaller the organization, the easier it is to control. Let's take a simple example. If the leadership of let's say South Africa reflects an attitude that says, you know, we are a winning nation, we never give up, never say die, that kind of simplistic thing. You'll find that reflected in your cricket team, in your rugby team, and so on. And then people will say, look, we don't care. Whatever the odds are, we are South Africans. It's not over until it's over. That kind of thing. Mm. And that type of culture, as Theo says, then gets inculcated into other areas which you can't even touch and feel. But it starts with the
starts with that mentality, yeah. That attitude. Professor, so I need to, if I'm the CEO of a business or a principal of a school, doesn't matter. Mm. I have to really believe in this point, don't I? I mean, I must really sit down and reflect and say, all right, what is my character? And what part of my character is not good and what's not and what is? But what do I want to reflect? I mean, you can't go on a long journey of creating performance or movement or success of taking your business somewhere without behavior being on that journey with you. I mean, people who say, don't judge the leader based on their behavior, just on performance. I mean, how can you split that? You can't really do that. Mm-hmm. Give us some other pointers. On this specific topic,
I want to latch on to what's said, because in that way I want to introduce another angle. Yes, the leadership is about the vision, it's about the values, but there's a very important quality that the leader infuses in its people, and the leader must put out. And I want to call it, it's the kind of, can I call it in a metaphorical sense, the body language of the leader.
Absolutely.
Leaders is about hope.
Mm.
We can go there, we can achieve that. Leaders is about instilling faith in their people. It's about passion. It's about what you've just mentioned. It's about the can-do attitude. It's about courage and perseverance. And very often we just look, can I call it the formal job description of the leaders? Have you achieved against the balance scorecard? There's a much greater thing, which is like it infuses also the culture of the organization, that you see people that in spite of their circumstances can achieve. I mean, our previous president Mandela actually sent out that message, not so much about the, can I call it the content of his presidency, but in terms of inspiring the country, in terms of the things I've just mentioned.
Behavior, example, small actions, those sort of things.
But it's hope, it's perseverance, it's courage, it's passion.
But leaders do get caught up by the challenge of performing in today's very dynamic, fast-paced world, and they don't necessarily have time to reflect on those things that matter, the things of behavior, things of small acts of kindness or a small acts of behavior, I would say, Louis.
Art, in the term used by the prof now, the body language is got incredible importance. Mm. You know, we speak all the time about authenticity of leaders. There are a lot of things that are communicated in common language, but the body language, people sense the body language. You must say what you like, but people sense your inner self, and that is the inner self that sells to many people. In South Africa, I believe people are receptive. If your body language is one of integrity, they will respect you.
So it's what you say, do, and don't do. So, gentlemen, we've got four people on the panel, a few minutes left for this conversation, but I'm a leader in a big corporate or big company, and I don't agree with the character of my CEO, my leader. And that's more possible to identify these days because leaders are more visible. Politically, it's even easier, perhaps, but nevertheless, what do I do? What do I do? I agree with the essence of the business, the product, the service, whatever we deliver to society. But I realize after a conversation like today that character of that leader is going to infiltrate the business, but I don't agree with it. Do I fight, flight, freeze? You know, what do I do? Dali, your view?
I'd say fight first. You need within an organization to try and be a kind of catalyst yourself, obviously. But I would go as far as to say if you find that there's more than 50% that you don't agree with in terms of what you see in your leader and maybe even more than that, then flight, as it were, because that's when you either have to resign or, you know, start a different type activity or move on. Because, look, obviously people get trapped by economic circumstances but if you do have the choice, if all things being equal, as they say in economics, if you are working for company A and you are very uncomfortable with the leadership, and there's company B where which exactly the same benefits, the same, you will definitely move to the next company, because they as just from the point of view of self fulfillment, you'll be much more comfortable.
Happiness, peace, yeah. and it depends on this where you are, I guess, in the organization as well. Very junior, not so
absolutely.
Okay, Louis, and then Rich, and then I'll ask Professor Felsman for a final comment.
Speaking to the prof, more as a psychologist, our experience is, though, that in many cases where you disagree amongst your colleagues about the boss, in many cases you find you haven't really confronted the boss. Not really. You say you have, but you haven't. So we find that you have to engage and you have to speak and listen, and it is amazing what relationships grow from it. One of our previous guests spoke about some of his greatest friendships came after a fight. So before you run the path of flight or even be critical, engage the person one-to-one. Thank you.
Yeah, too many times you find a different picture when you actually engage the leader. It's just the way it is, Rich.
Yeah, I agree with both what Dali and Louis have said. But the one thing that you need to do is you need to strategically outmaneuver this person. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is actually by being proactive. If you're fighting or you're engaging, you're actually active. You've got to preempt what they're doing. And you've got to call it before it happens.
Mm.
Well, that's a real leader, because that's going to give hope to the other people that have also seen the problem.
Yeah.
And yes, it is a challenge. But if you think about your relationship and your personal relationship, what does your partner expect from you? They expect you to be creative and innovative in that relationship. So in any relationship, because this is what we're talking about here, you've got to outmaneuver that person. You've got to think before they think and surprise them.
Mm.
Surprise them with what you think they're going to do.
Interesting points, Rich Simmons, Dolly.
If I could just add, I think that that's the greatest example of that analogy of what you do at home. I mean, you know, you don't just go there and fight or flight or whatever. You have to be tactical as to how you approach. Sometimes you make it look like it's the other person's idea and that kind of thing. So all those come into the picture of winning even the so-called fight, as it were. You don't just go there and say, no, you're wrong, Mr. Leader, you or Ms. Leader. You go and say, look, yeah, I would have done it like this or whatever. Mm. And obviously the leaders differ. There are those who will jump onto the defensive and think they are being criticized. Those are bad leaders. And there are those who will listen carefully into that kind of constructive criticism and take it on board.
On board. Mm. We're going to take a 30-second break, and then Professor Felsman, let's just summarize with you. Is that okay? We'll bring it together.
It has been locked away from the eyes of the world. Chained, never to be released. But now, it wants to get out. Stay tuned to Cliff Central weekdays to find out how you can unleash the Jeep Renegade. Find hidden codes and videos posted by Jeep SA, and you could win Jeep Renegade prizes. As well as become the person to single-handedly unleash the Jeep Renegade upon the shores of South Africa. Are you renegade enough?
I'm a renegade, I just hit the ground running.
Visit unleashrenegade.co.za to find out. T's and C's apply.
Adrian Groenewald, Leadership Platform. Great panel talking about whether an organization reflects the character of its leader. Prof, what the panel said, summarize, give us your final thoughts. And I think on another occasion we must talk about toxic leadership, which is a theme on its own.
Yeah. Adrian, thanks very much for participating in this very important topic. I think, you know, we've talked about a lot about leaders, but leaders are nothing without followers. So many of the things we're talking about, the leaders should also be reflective in terms of the stakeholders that have to be mobilized and become followers. And I think the point that's been made is what's important is that we also have courageous, passionate followers that in that sense, ironically, also become the leaders by taking up and engaging with their leadership. And then I think the conversation is around in what areas do we disagree or agree and how changeable are those? I mean, for me, there are four areas in which this engagement can happen. Firstly, the character. I think there is an integrity problem.
Yeah.
The second area is a value problem, a value challenge. We don't see eye to eye on maybe what's honesty. The third area is that of an attitude one, and the fourth one of conduct. And I've given them in the order of changeability from character If it's an integrity issue, it's very difficult to change. It's kind of hardwired into the leader. Conduct is much easier to change. So I think courageous followers have to stand up and engage where there are differences for the sake of the greater good that they want to serve and the legacy they want to leave behind.
Yeah.
And if it's such, then they have to walk away.
Great courage, and courage is what brings great dividends. Even at a lower level in an organization, it doesn't matter where it is. Prof, thank you for joining us. We're going to close up the conversation. We'll have you on again, hopefully, and maybe next time talk about toxic leadership.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to participate.
Thank you so much. Professor Theo Feltzman from UJ University. So, gentlemen, final comments on this topic, and then I will take a 30-second break and then zoom in on Advocate Dali Mpofu, our special leader in the studio. Have one or two questions. We'll see how they fit in. Rich, any final comment?
No, I'm good.
You're good. But you agree, the organization does reflect the character of the leader in essence.
It does, definitely. Yeah.
Dali?
Yeah, I do too. And I like the prof's four attributes because, and I'll zoom in on attitude.
Mm.
Because it's very important. I mean, all leaders will say, look, I have an open door policy, blah, blah, blah. But people are not stupid, you know. They know exactly if there is an open door policy. They know exactly if they are allowed to criticize. They know exactly if they get, you know, the look, as it were, as soon as they raise an issue in a meeting. So body language, as I said, is what it's all about. And I can assure you, any leader who doesn't learn, you know, naturally we don't like to be criticized, all of us, but you have to almost learn the art of accepting criticism and even inviting it, which is even more difficult. Otherwise, you'll never be a good leader.
It's difficult, but aim to get to that space.
Absolutely.
If I'm a leader in an organization, I would ask myself, whether I like it or not, my character does reflect in organization, and the sooner I look at that, the better.
Right, next up, Advocate Dali Mpofu. Will zoom in on him, ask him about leadership, about the issues around him at the moment as a leader. Stay with us, and we've just closed down the conversation on whether or not a leader's organization reflect his character, and it does. It certainly does.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. Which is why we have partnered with the Leadership Platform to nurture leaders who are committed to growing our country's economy.
We are proud to say it's an initiative that's already showing glittering results. Sibanye Gold, we are one.